I want to use a couple of verses from different places in the scripture. I'm going to read several verses, but two that are related, and I think you'll understand when you're. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. About the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, because no man hath hired us. And he saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal with us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. Never read that. And what I'm always reminded of the little boy who went to Sunday school and learned his memory verse just like these kids learned the song this morning. But this little guy learned this particular verse, especially the last part, for many be called, but few are chosen. And he went home and he was so proud to tell his mama that he had learned his memory verse at church. And he quoted it and he said, for many are cold and a few are frozen. And I think probably that may be appropriate many times for our people. Many are cold and a few are frozen. The other verse that I want to read to you is over in the first chapter of the book of Acts. And I think you'll see in a second here then why that I said I'm going to read you two verses. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. That's speaking of Jesus. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. If I have a thought that I want you to remember this morning, is why stand ye here idle, or why stand ye here gazing? What are you doing standing here? I think many times that our people lose sight of the fact that the Lord did have a purpose in saving you and me other than just to escape hell. We sometimes just seem to think that all we've got to do is get saved, and that's all expected of us. And I'm not sure that sometimes we preachers don't leave that impression with you that's all there is to it. Well, that's the most critical, that's the most important thing that ever happens to an individual, is when the Lord saves your soul. That I can never downplay that or ever be able to convey to you just how critical that is in the life of every individual. But I also want you to understand that the Lord then, once he has saved us, has every right to expect that we are going to serve him and that we are going to glorify him in our service and that we are going to work. And we need to be sure that we get that message across that God's children do have work to be done. God, in His great plan, left the responsibility for the continual preaching of His Word, the good news. He left that with the authority of the church, which He gave unto the church shortly before He went away. And whenever that He did that, He gave them the specific instructions as to how it was to be done and where it was to be done. And sometimes we, even if we do start to think about doing something for the Lord, we many times just don't know what to do. We don't know how to do it. And probably most of the time we haven't studied the Word of the Lord enough to see what He teaches us in His Word. The other thing that I think happens many times is that we have a lot of people standing around who have hurt feelings. They've been disappointed when they went out here all excited about what they were going to do for the Lord, and it didn't turn out the way they thought it was going to. If you go back and you read the Word of the Lord and you listen to what Jesus said to His disciples originally, and we could understand that we're not going to be the exception to what those men were, He tried to warn them and to forewarn them of the things that they could anticipate when they went out and they began to declare to the world about Him. And He told them very plainly, you know, people are not going to listen to you. People are not going to receive you. People are not going to be as gung-ho about it as we sometimes get the idea that they should be. And so after we've gone out, quote, and we tried it once and it didn't work, we feel like that we are licensed to be able to say, I don't need to do anything else. I want you to notice in the scripture that I read to you, especially the first one, that the Bible here speaks about this householder who goes out and he hires people to go in and to work for him. Goes out early in the morning, goes out again in just a few hours. He goes out several times throughout the day to get people to go in. And then he goes out at the 11th hour, almost quitting time. And he finds people that are still standing out here. And he says to them, why are you standing here idle? Now, don't any of you try to convince me this morning that the Lord doesn't have enough work for you to do something. That He's already got too many people who's out here trying to see that the gospel is declared and that we are witnessing to the Lord and we don't need any more, because you'll have a terrible time of convincing me of that. As a matter of fact, you just won't convince me. Quite the contrary, that we really have a lot of work that needs to be done that is not being done. There are still more people who are lost than are saved. There are more people who need to hear the gospel than just us who are gathered here this morning. And there are more people who need to hear the gospel than I will ever be able to reach, or any other preacher will be able to reach, but you can reach. God grants each one of you the wonderful privilege as one of His children of sharing what He has done in your heart and your life. You may not feel like that you're as capable of doing it as anyone else, but let me assure you this morning that you're just as capable and you're just as qualified as anyone else. I want you to bear in mind that when these people came in here who had been out there early in the morning and they only got a penny for the work that they had done, they were disappointed. They were disgusted about the fact. They said, well, look over here. This person just went in there and worked an hour, and they got the same thing we did. And the householder said, you know, why are you so upset? I gave you what you agreed to work for. Let me tell you something. If I were to work every hour of every day for the rest of my life, I could never even begin to touch the obligation that I owe to the Lord Jesus Christ for having saved my soul. I cannot buy that. It is not to be bought. It was not for sale, first of all. You know, there's a saying that everything is for sale. I remember Lee, my brother, who was quite a wheeler dealer, as most of you who know him would say. And old Lee used to say, everything's got a price tag on it. And I used to argue with him. I'd say, there are some things that I don't care how much money you talk about, you couldn't buy from me. And he'd just laugh at me and say, yeah, I could. If I had the money, I could buy it. But there are a few things that, first of all, are not for sale. And the Lord did not make the plan of salvation for sale that you and I could buy it. He went and already paid for it. He gives it away. It's a gift, you know, when you think about it. That's the Bible, what the Bible says, that salvation was a gift unto me. And so there's no way that I could ever pay for it. There's no way I could ever work enough to be able to repay Him for what He has done. But I do have the responsibility to work as much as I humanly can. And I don't do that. I have to admit that this morning. I fail in that respect. I come short. I'm sure that if he were to look down, he'd say, he's got to be a disappointment. But let me tell you something this morning. I am so thankful that God, without respect of persons, without considering, you know, who I was or where I was, looked down and saw me when I was lost and said, He needs a Redeemer. He needs me in His heart and His life. And He came into my heart and my life and saved my soul. And I need to be able to tell other people about that. I need to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I need not be ashamed of that. I need to be able to share that with people. I need to be able to tell it. And I take a great amount of pride, and I tell people every once in a while, you hear me say it here more than most people here, but I take a great amount of pride that over 60 years now, I've been privileged to preach the gospel. And I thank the Lord for that. I don't say that to be bragging. I just am thankful that He has blessed me for that many years to be able to stand and tell other people about Him and how I love to tell about the Lord. There isn't anyone that I'd rather talk about and tell people about than the Lord Jesus Christ, because I know what He has done for me and I know what He can do for them. And so, but I don't have a seniority. You know what? The very last person that has ever been saved, the very youngest one that has been saved here in this church, God gave them just as much salvation as He has given me. Yeah. He will bless them just as much as He will bless me when they do what He asks them to do. God never asks more of us than we're capable of doing with His help. And we need to keep that in mind. There are some times whenever that I feel like that what He's asking of me is just beyond anything that I can humanly do. But I've learned over the years that that is true if I think I can do it by myself. But as long as I know that He will help me and that He will get the job done, that makes it okay. That makes it okay. At least I can give it a shot. At least I can try. And then, you know, as you've heard me say many times, results are not mine to do. They're not mine to get. That's up to Him as to what the results are going to be. And they're really none of my business. You see, quite frankly, these people who went out here early in the morning and they worked all day, they knew what they were going to be paid. They had agreed to go out there and work for that amount of money. Why then should they be upset with this? Well, I can understand why, because they're human. And they're like we are a lot of times. They thought, well, you know, I've worked hard. I've been in the service of the Lord for years and years. And, you know, here someone just come along and get saved, and they're going to be in heaven just like I am. Well, there'll be a difference up there. Don't you ever forget that for a minute. The Bible very clearly teaches that. Now, not because they just got saved recently, but hopefully for that person who's been, like myself, who's been in the service for 60 years, if I have stored up a few treasures, I've had a little more time to store up a few. I may not have done that. I certainly have not done it as I should have, but hopefully I've got a few stored up there. And you all need to be thinking the same thing. You don't need to say, well, the preacher's getting up there bragging on himself. No, I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just telling you what the Word of the Lord teaches that you're supposed to be doing. Why stand ye all the day idle? Why are you standing around? The two men who came there whenever the Lord went away in that glorified body, when they were standing there in bewilderment and beheld him as he went up in the clouds of power and glory. And these angels said, or these men said, I better be careful. It says men, doesn't it? Said, why stand ye gazing into the heavens? He's going to come back in like manner. You go over and read in the book of Revelation when he comes back again. He's not going to come as a servant. He's not going to come obedient to the will of the Father to carry out that commission which he was originally given. He's going to come as a King of kings and a Lord of lords. He's going to come in power and glory and splendor. He's not going to go through that humble birth that he had before. Every eye shall see him. Everyone will be able to behold him as the great and the mighty and the powerful God that he is. But these men said, why stand you here gazing into the heavens? Why are you just standing around? You ever think to ask yourself that? How much am I really doing? How much of the time am I standing around? Used to be a favorite thing when I was first started preaching. I don't hear it much anymore because I don't get around to a lot of the other churches, and I don't hear it here at all. People get up and testify once in a while and say, well, you know, I want to be sure that that was the Lord speaking to me before I did anything. And about 99% of the time, Stan, what they were saying was, I didn't want to do it. And so they're stalling. The Lord had already told them. I don't know why they didn't understand that the first time, why they thought it took more time. But a lot of time, folks, we're just standing around. Because we don't do whatever it is the Lord wants us to do. Well, these old boys were out here, and whenever that the householder came out, he said, why have you been standing here idle all the time? Well, because nobody asked us. Now, let me tell you something. I may not come around to every one of you individually and ask you to do something. I'm convinced of this. And most things, if I were to come to you personally and ask you to do something, I'm convinced you would do it. You would do it because I ask you to do it. Again, I'm not being bragging about it. I just think that that's how good a people you are, and that you'd try to do whatever it was. If you know, if it was in reason, you know, you're not going to go out here and do some stupid thing that I might ask you to do. But you might just tell me, well, that's stupid. But I'm sincere in that. Why then, if you would do something that I would ask you, would you not do something if the Lord were asking you? Now think about that. And yet God does many times. He asks each one of us. He speaks to our hearts. He still speaks to us. And it may not be anything outstanding. It's probably not going to make the front page of the index, or you're not going to get on TV about what it is that you've done for the Lord. Most of us don't. But what we do need to understand is there is work to do. There's work for each one of us to do. And you know, it shouldn't matter to us. The old excuses I've always heard of this, well, I'm older now, and the young people should step in and pick up part of the load that I've been carrying for so many years. Yeah. And the young people are saying, you know what? Those old people have got all the experience, and they've been through this, and they know what to do. And so who am I to go in there and to try to do what they already know how to do so well? So what do? We stand around and we look at each other. So they should, he should, they should, we should, and nothing gets done. Why stand ye here all the day idle? What if the Lord would ask us that? What if he were to say to you, why? I love to go back over in the Old Testament and read when the Lord sent his servant down to the children of Israel. And he said, you go down there and ask them something. He said, you go down there and ask them, what have you found wrong with me, the Lord? What have you found wrong with me that you've gone far from me? Gone away from me, have forsaken me, have followed other gods. Why have you done that? Has there been something wrong with me? I would ask you the same thing this morning in closing. What have we found wrong with the Lord? Are we like those people who came that have been out there all day and said, well, it's not fair that those who've come along later are going to be blessed as much as I am. I thoroughly enjoy it. And I'll say this, Leela, if you tell that praise again 15 more times, I'm going to enjoy it every time. Because I enjoy hearing people talk about the praises of the Lord. I want us to talk about not only what our needs are, and we do need to share with one another. Sometimes we don't need a lot of detail. I didn't give you some detail this morning that I could have, but I ask you to pray for some people. They need to be prayed for. They need our prayers. But we also then sometimes need to be able to praise the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, that you answered the prayer, that you've blessed me. And we need to be able to share those with one another, because many times it is encouraging and it is good to know. You know what? God still answers prayers from time to time. They may not be mine, but they are yours. And sometimes I've prayed for the same thing and heard that people talk about it, and I think, thank you, Lord. We can be critical of everything that everyone does. They may not do it the way they think they should have done it, but at least they're doing something. And most of the time when we are being critical of them, all we're doing is standing around and being critical. We're not doing anything ourselves. I used to say, I want to wear out. I'll be beat up and banged up and everything under the sun by the time I finish the journey. But I'd much rather wear out than rust out. I don't want to just sit around and do nothing and rust out. I may not get it right, Stan, but I'm going to give it a try. And when I fail, I hope that the Lord will be gracious enough to let me say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I did. But I still love the Lord. And I still praise Him. And I'm looking forward to one of these days. If I'm not here when He comes back in the clouds of power and glory, and I just have to be looking up, I hope I can keep my eyes upward to the man who knows every single thing, and that I can praise Him.